We're good to go. We're starting a new topic this week, and it's called Broken Promises. So this first week, we're going to look at the promises of man, the promises people make to us, okay? Now, the dictionary definition of the word promise is an assurance that you will do something. A particular thing will happen. To tell someone you will certainly do it. So you're making them a promise. You're going, this is going to happen. I will certainly do it. So the dictionary says a promise will happen and it's a certainty. When we make a promise, it's not supposed to be broken. But the reality can be quite different. Promises do get broken. In sickness and in health gets broken. I love you gets broken. I'll pay you back can get broken. I remember a story, well, it's true, it happened to our family many years ago now. I was still living at home, and the coal man would come every Saturday, and you had the coal box out the back in the backyard. The coal man would come round the village, and you'd get your coal delivered. But it had been a particularly cold spell, and so obviously this person thought he'd jump on the bandwagon. So this different coal man turned up at my mum's door, and she said, oh, I really do need another bag of coal. And back then, a bag of coal was £5 a bag. So the man delivered the bag of coal, but my mum only had a £10 note. Now, that was a lot more money back then. So she gave him the £10 note, and he promised that he would come back with the change. Well, we never saw him again. We never saw that man to this day, okay, because off he went with the £10 note. He broke the promise. You know, it's quite a good saying, if you give someone £20 and you never see them again, it was £20 well spent. Well, we never saw Pedro again, that's what we called him. And so I suppose it was £10 well spent, and at least she didn't get her coal for it. So here's my question for us today. What were you promised? And was the promise kept or broken? So I had a vision as I was preparing this of a battlefield, and bombs were exploding everywhere, all over the battlefield, leaving huge potholes, massive big craters all over the field. Broken promises can be like that. They can leave holes in our heart and holes in our lives. They leave holes in relationships. Some members of the family don't speak to us for decades, okay, because a bomb has exploded. Broken promises can devastate us. So here's my next question. Have you broken a promise? And as if the enemy is attacking you over it, even years later, I just want you to know that it's not just you that may have broken a promise, because we could all get in line today and say, actually, I couldn't manage to fulfill that promise for whatever reason. We were ministering to someone a little while back, and this person was devastated decades later because they felt they had broken a promise. But I thought to begin with, they were devastated because someone had broken a promise to them. And this person was finding it so hard to forgive themselves and get over the fact that they had broken a promise. And we were trying to talk them through it and say that nearly everybody has done that. You know, that's part of life. Sometimes it's really hard to stick to something, especially if circumstances change. So most people have broken a promise at some point. So you need to get to the place where you forgive yourself and let it go. Okay? But I've got good news today. Whether we broke the promise or someone else did, God can fix it. He can bring it all back together again. He can restore it. And I had a picture in my head of the biggest tube of super glue you've ever seen, about 2 meters long of super glue. And God's got that up in heaven, ready to put things back together. So if things were destroyed by a broken promise on any side of the relationship, God can fix it. Or if he can't put the original together, he can give you something even better than the original. You know, I know in the past I've gone for a job, I didn't get that job. And I was just destroyed at the time because I didn't get the job. But then God gave me a better job. And so he knows what he's doing. When we buy something, it often comes with a guarantee. And that is a promise by the maker. You know, if it gets broken, they promise to fix it. Or they promise to replace it. Or they may promise to give you your money back if it's not working properly. I want us to note this, that God's promises in his word are our guarantee. They are our guarantee. He's given us promises and they're our guarantee. God's got a money back guarantee, a joy back guarantee, and a future back guarantee. If we can believe his promises, God can get our promises back for us. So here's a scripture in Joel, and two different translations here. One says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. And the other one says, I'll give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts. So there's two different sort of ways you could interpret that. First of all, the locust came and stole the stuff for you, from you. But the second one is you actually lost it, and that's how the locusts were able to eat it up. So whether you did it or whether the locust did it, God can restore it, okay? So anyone know any locusts? Work with any? Related to any? You know, that kind of thing, sitting beside any? Any of us know any locusts? And have they stolen from you? Well, God will restore it. He will pay back, and that is his promise to us. Even if it was a swarm of locusts that came, God can still get it back. You might say, but Sandra, it was so much my fault, not someone else's. Well, just get in line, okay? Because we've all done things that we feel, I've let myself down, I've let God down there. Get in line. There's no degree of sin to God. Sin is sin. So we need to ask for forgiveness, and then we need to forgive ourselves and let it go. Because we're all sinners, and we're just saved by another one of God's promises, and that is his grace. There's not one person in this room that's any better than anybody else or any worse than anybody else. We stand before God covered in his grace and his grace alone. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So if we're feeling weak, that's great because it's God that's going to look good. Okay, it makes him look all the better. When we are our weakest, God's grace will make us strong. Grace is a promise from God. It's his love, mercy, and favor all rolled into one. It's all the goodness of God all rolled into one. Even if we don't deserve it, it's okay. Because grace actually means not just favor. Grace means unmerited favor, undeserved favor. None of us deserve it. It's not just the favor of God, it's the undeserved favor of God. None of us deserve it, but it's ours anyway, because it's God's promise to us. It's his guarantee. He gave it to us just when we deserve it the least. God pours out his grace on us for free because Jesus already paid for it. Even if we broke the promise, God still wants to pour out his grace. God's not up in heaven condemning us. He's right beside us, loving us and walking us through the situation, walking us through the minefield, you know, in the battlefield, trying to get us to believe the promises that he's made for us. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The Amplified Bible uses the word judge. It says there's no judging guilty of wrong. God's not judging us, folks. And that's a promise. If we can just find the promises in his word and walk in them, we stand in grace. He's not judging us. We're crawling to God, you know, with our head and our hands going, I've done something wrong, I've done something wrong, I've done something wrong. And God's going, where is it? I can't see it because the Bible says our sins are as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. They're not hidden under the rug for God to bring out at a later date, you know, when he thinks we need reprimanded. There's no condemnation, not even a teeny weeny bit. There's nothing hidden under the carpet. It's all swept clean. Everything's gone. All of the bad stuff. That's what is so amazing about grace. That's why they call it amazing grace. Because God's grace towards us is so much more than we could ever show to someone else. Our grace is so conditional. His is unconditional. Today, God's giving us a promise of grace and forgiveness. And I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but when I'm struggling to forgive myself, I actually write it down. I write it down in my journal. And I just say, Lord, this is what I've done. I thank you. I ask you to forgive me. I thank you that you've forgiven me, and now I choose to forgive myself. It's a choice. You need to choose to forgive yourself and let it go. And I do that a lot. If there's something that I'm struggling in my mind with, I can't get rid of it, it helps me to write it down, and then it just seems to go. Folks, God's already forgiven you, and it is time to forgive yourself. This is what it says in Isaiah 61 and verse 7. Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double what they forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Isn't that an amazing scripture? So have broken promises brought shame or dishonor or reproach? Are you from other people to you, or are you beating yourself up about something? I just want to pray against that right now. So this is you. You can say the prayer under your breath. You can say it in your head. It doesn't matter. So I'm going to come against those negative things of shame and guilt and everything that the enemy throws at us. Father, I pray right now, and I don't know everyone's circumstance. I don't know whether we feel we've let you down or whether other people have let us down, and the broken promises that we're still treading through years later. But Father, I come against the guilt, and I come against the shame, and I bind it, Lord, and I break it off our lives in Jesus' name, because they're nothing but an attack of the enemy. They are not from God. So Father, I bind them and I break them now in the name of Jesus. We refuse to accept them, and we refuse to carry them any longer, and we choose right now to let them go. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can say a simple prayer like that at home if another memory comes to mind. Whenever the memory comes to mind, just give it to God and choose to let it go. This says God will give us a twofold recompense for everything that we've either lost or has been stolen from us. Now, a recompense means to make amends for loss or harm suffered. In other words, to compensate. So God is able to compensate. He's able to pay back. And it says double. It's going to be better than it was before. It's going to be better than the thing that was lost or stolen from you. So much better. Turn to someone today and say, I'm getting double. We're getting double back, you know? So if someone's stolen that £10 from you, just say, Lord, I give it to you. You're going to give me back double. So £20 will be in the post, all right? So just give it to God and claim that scripture in Isaiah 61. Let's look at Hebrews 10 and verse 30. Very short and sweet, just part of that scripture. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And the Amplified says, retribution and the meting out of full justice rest with me. I will exalt the compensation, says the Lord. See, we want it to be us that pays them back. You know, we want to be the one that sends out the bad news to them because they sent some bad news to us. We want to be the one that gives them a double punch. You know, but this says you need to trust God for that. God's the one that will bring justice for how we were treated badly. And also there's one in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 35. Vengeance is mine and recompense is in the time when their foot shall slide, for the day of their disaster is at hand and their doom comes speedily. Not your doom, but their doom for the people that moved against you, the people that broke their promise. They won't get away with it, is what God's saying. You might say, well, they've got away with it for the last 10 years, Sandra, but they can't get away with it before God. They won't get away with it. The blame will fall at their door and not yours. So you need to hand all the details over to God and trust him to bring justice. He is our defense. When no one appears to be defending us, God is. And we've already covered, if we're the ones that made the mistake, God's already forgotten it. So you're beating yourself up over something that doesn't exist anymore. Isaiah 54:17 says this, but no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall show to be in the wrong. For this peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You know, I've lost count of how many times Neil and I have had to stand on that scripture, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And if you can stand on that scripture and you can trust God, then all those things will be yours. Peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over the attack will all be yours if you can trust God for him to defend you and him to attack the person that's coming against you. So this says that we're supposed to triumph over the opposition, but it can feel like the opposition has triumphed over us. We lose our peace every time we think about it. So if that's the case, claim this promise that nothing formed against you will prosper, and every word spoken against you will be proven to be in the wrong, and all the lies will be exposed and nothing will be hidden. It's an amazing promise that you can claim for things to be put right in your life. In Daniel 2 and verse 22, it just says, he reveals the secret things. He knows what is in the darkness. You know, if someone's talking about you behind your back, God knows it, and he's the one that will defend you. God knows it all. All we've got to do is believe his promises. Then we will triumph over that opposition. So I want to take a wee look at Mary and Joseph. It's December. We're heading in that direction. In closing today, a little look at the promises that were made in Mary and Joseph's life. So Luke 1 and verse 27, the angel went to a virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. Luke 2 and verse 5, Joseph went there to Bethlehem to register with Mary. She had been promised to him in marriage and was pregnant. So Joseph had been given a promise that Mary would be his wife, and Mary had made a promise to honor their engagement. And then all the promises came crashing to the ground. I don't know if you've stood in a moment in time in your life and promises have come crashing to the ground. Well, if it was good enough for Mary and Joseph, do you know what? We are in the same boat. So their life just fell apart all of a sudden. Broken promises are not a new thing. Devastated lives are not new, and it doesn't matter who's caused it. You know, in the natural, Joseph felt Mary was the one who'd broken the promise. She'd let him down. That's how it felt to him. It seemed Mary had let her family down too. They would have been absolutely filled with shame because Mary had come back pregnant. And they would have accused her of all sorts of things. And what Mary and Joseph went through was real life. And it's still relevant today. Even then, broken promises brought shame and pain and guilt and grief. And Mary was the one being accused of having done that. So we're in good company today if we feel actually it was me that let someone down or they dumped a whole lot of rubbish on me. It doesn't matter which way it went. Either way, there's hurt. Either way, there's things that only God can fix and only God can work out. When man's promises are broken, usually a lot of people get hurt. We can blame God for what people did, but God does not break his promises. Look at Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? This is so straightforward. It says, God always fulfills his promises. He did it for Mary and Joseph, and he'll do it for us. He took the mess, because socially it was a complete mess. Everyone in their town would have been against them. And God took all of that situation and turned it around because it was his will, and he brought something good out of it. I'm not saying that what happened to you was God's will, but God can still bring something good out of it. And I'm just, in closing, I had two last visions here. So the first one was, I saw someone carrying a small basket in their arms, and the basket was just full, or it looked to me like broken pottery, just full of broken pieces. But when I looked closer, I knew what it was representing. I knew it was broken promises. So this person's basket, their life was full of broken promises, because every little piece of pottery had a name on it, like heartache and shame and pain and guilt and all of those things, all because people hadn't kept their promises. And in the second part to the vision, I saw Jesus just standing with his hand outstretched to the person, and basically he was saying, give me the basket. He was asking them to hand over the basket that was full of broken promises to him. And he wanted to take it from them, all the broken promises, all the pieces of their life. And he wants us to do the same. He wants us to hand it over to him. And then I felt that the Lord was asking this person two questions. The first question was, will you trust me to fix it? So if Jackie's the person, that she's got the basket, it's got all the broken pottery in it, and I'm standing and I'm saying, Jackie, will you trust me to fix it? She's going to fling it at me. And the Lord is saying, will you trust me to fix it? Do you know I can fix it? Do you know the promises in my word that say I can fix it? Do you know all of these things? Do you know that I'll never leave you or forsake you? Do you know that I've made these promises? Do you know that instead of your former shame, I'll give you a twofold recompense? All of these things that I've said. Do you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper if you trust my promises? So that's the first question. Will you trust me to fix it? And the second question is this. Will you let it go? Will you hand it over? Because sometimes we can go to God on Monday and we can hand the problem over, but by Tuesday we've picked it up again and we're worrying about it. Every time you worry about something, every time it goes over in your mind, you've picked it back up. So Jesus said, will you let it go once and for all? Hand it over once and for all. Now we sang that song today, all these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. I asked Neil to put that into the worship today, because that can be our lives. All these pieces broken and scattered. How on earth am I going to fix this, Lord? But the next line is, in his mercy, he can gather them up. And they become mended and whole. If we really want our lives to be mended and made whole, we have to be willing to hand over all the pieces and not pick them up again. Not say, oh, I just would like that back for 5 minutes, Lord, so I'll have a rant about it, then I'll give it back to you. You know, we're not allowed to do that. We hand it over and we need to leave it there. You can't mend something if there's a piece missing. So the next vision I had was I saw someone mending this beautiful vase. You know these Ming vases that are worth millions of pounds or thousands of pounds. And they were trying to mend it and they were gluing it together, but there was one piece missing. So you can't complete the job if there's a piece missing. It cannot be finished if pieces are missing. No one can make it whole again if some of the pieces aren't there. I want you to listen to this. Even God can't make it whole again if we are still holding on to some of the pieces. And that includes forgiving yourself. If you are still holding on to unforgiveness, not maybe unforgiveness towards the other person, but you're not choosing to forgive yourself, God can't mend you. He cannot mend that situation if we are holding on to, I did it wrong, I did it wrong, I did it wrong. I'm ashamed of myself. There's shame right there. And if we're still holding on to unforgiveness, then do you know what, God? I'm going to trust you to judge them. I release them into your hands. I'm not going to give them another minute of my breathing life. Okay, I'm not going to give them a breath while it's in my body. We need to hand it over. So here is my revelation. If we hold on and refuse to let go, we're limiting God. We are limiting God. He cannot complete the vase if there's a piece missing. Cannot bring completion or closure to something that happened if we are still holding on to the basket full of broken promises. We must give it all into God's hands. Then he promises to fix it for us. God doesn't break promises. Man does. But God can fix them if we let him. Can I ask the worship team to come up?